One Hand Speaks. Hey, hey, my friends. This is Alejandro Anastasio with the One Hand Speaks Storytelling Podcast. Humorous, intimate, and enlightening one-handed stories about life and beyond. Hey, 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 here we go. Back in flow, podcast number 112. This is about how I feel after coming back from my 12-day Buddhist pilgrimage in Tibet. First, let me say thanks for hanging in there a bit. I did take 3 weeks off. I can't remember the dates there. I posted them online. Said I was going to be missing 3 Wednesdays. I think it was the 19th, the 26th, and maybe the 3rd of July. But here we go. Like I said, back in flow. And it is July 9th. It's Tuesday. I'm recording this podcast. I arrived back in Boise, Idaho on July 5th. I say that with some reservation because my July 5th, my Friday, was 36 hours long, basically, because I came backwards in time. So I arrived in Boise July 5th, Friday night, about 11 p.m. I actually pulled into my apartment. And basically, things are a little bit off. You know, as I mentioned, Tibet and China, mostly Tibet and Chengdu, China, they are 14 hours ahead of Boise, Idaho. So right now it's 6:30 p.m., but over there it's 10:30 a.m. And I've been having a little trouble sleeping. This is just basic how I feel. Nothing really deep yet, just tapping into the little bit of jet laggedness now. I left, my last day in Chengdu was July 4th. I woke up in the second largest city in Tibet called Shigatse. And then the other pilgrims, they went on to do the 19-day trip and circumambulate and do prayers around the mountain of Kailash. For you deep Buddhists know that's a very sacred mountain, and people constantly are doing circumambulations and prayers and offerings all around that mountain. I just did the 12-day version, the 12-day pilgrimage. That's what I wanted, that's what I needed, that's what was perfect for me with my job. So that was a transition day. Happy 4th of July, July 4th. So we all woke up in Shigatse, we got up pretty early. And then the crew that was going to the airport, you know, we got in a couple minivans and we just drove to the airport and then waited for a while and then flew over to Chengdu, China. And then I just stayed at the Chengdu Airport Hotel overnight. It was really nice. You know, it's a nice hotel and they had great amenities and great food. It was great to just relax and hang out and just reorganize my bags. And then the next day, okay, here's the deal. I had a 10 a.m. flight, 9:50 a.m. flight out of Chengdu, China. I got to the airport 3 hours early, and that was barely enough time to make it to my flight and get on there. And then the flight itself is 14 hours. And then I come back in time 14 hours. So basically, my Friday was 38 hours long. 38 hours long. And then I landed in San Francisco at 8 a.m. and I had to make a transition, get all my bags, customs, immigration, and then go through security again. And then get the rest of my flight from San Francisco to L.A. And then once I landed in L.A., then I have a six-hour layover until I can get on a different airlines, Delta. I flew United to China, but then I booked a separate ticket on Delta to get to Boise, Idaho. And that was great because I actually flew from Boise, Idaho to Chengdu, China, round trip for $1,005. And that flight from Chengdu to from Boise to Chengdu and back was all direct. The second one was nonstop, which was sweet, which was sweet. But I had a long layover in L.A., and I want to share this with you because I have a number of podcasts about just one-handed international travel and things like that. I have to be really careful as a one-handed traveler, carrying bags, putting bags down, being aware of when I put bags down, you know. A lot of it is that if I'm going to get my wallet out or manipulate money, if I have something in my hand, I got to put that down, which is why I like backpacks. But coming back from Tibet, I had a large suitcase, a backpack, and then I was carrying a little tote bag, right? And I was tired. I'm strung out. I don't know what time it is. I don't know how much sleep I've had. You know, when I left, it was daytime. It's still daytime, but I'm slightly exhausted. So I get my bag at the LA airport. I'm basically in Tom Bradley International, and I'm waiting for my bag to come out. Was I there? No, I was close to those two terminals from there, right? And my bag came out, and it's kind of a smaller terminal in LA, and I just pulled up. I pulled up in this little corner, right? And I thought, oh, okay, let me just relax here for a minute. And then everybody kind of left, and it got real quiet. So I thought, oh, well, maybe I should sleep here. Now, the thing is about sleeping in the airport, I just have general concern because, you know, hundreds of people, if not thousands of people, are walking by me. And the last thing I want to do is actually lose my bag or get something stolen or something like that. And I just remember, okay, you got to visualize this. I'm sitting in this corner spot. I'm actually kind of in the corner, this seat, and there's a little gap there. So I thought, okay, I'm going to roll my roller suitcase on my left. It'll tuck right in there. And then I'm sitting in this seat. And then next to me is, you know, just a row of seats. And to my right, I have my backpack and my little tote bag, which has got my computer in it, my Wacom tablet, a lot of my hard drives, some technology, some tech gear, and some gifts from Tibet in there. And I was really tired, and I was just kind of fading. And the last thought I had was, this is great, the last thought I had was, oh, I should really move this stuff over to my left because this is slightly vulnerable here on my right. Next thing I know, I'm sleeping. Right. And I'm not just sleeping. I'm in immediate, deep, deep sleep. And I'm just hanging out. And then all of a sudden I wake up and I look up and there's this very young woman. She's got to be 26 to 31, just kind of looking at me. And I thought she was a little surprised that I woke up. And she's like, oh, where are you coming from? I'm like, oh, I came from Chengdu, China, and I'm just hanging out here because I got to make a transition to go get to the next terminal, that kind of thing. But I'm totally reclined back, and when I woke up, I was just thinking to myself, I'm like, oh, this is how it happens, you know, stuff gets stolen. And so I asked this young lady, I asked her where she came from. And she's like, oh, I came from Tom Bradley, which is the international terminal in LA. And I thought to myself, nobody comes from Tom Bradley. Typically, when you ask that question, people tell you the destination they came from or where they're going. And it was at that point that I became immediately suspicious. Now, mind you, there's nobody in the airport, in this little quadrant of the airport. And she sits down right next to me, pulls out this suitcase, and slightly opens it up. I thought all this was completely bizarre, right? So I really got to just kind of wake up a little bit because I'm still pretty tired. And I notice that my, you know, right next to me is my, well, all my money, my bags, my computer, all my hardware, like really valuable stuff that I should have moved into a safer location to my left. And then I start looking at this girl. She's actually got one of those roller, it's not a shopping cart, but you can rent them at the airport so you can carry your luggage. It's a luggage cart. And at first glance, I didn't think anything was unusual. And then I realize that all her luggage is torn. It's all mismatched. And then in the top of her roller luggage thingy, I don't even know what to call it, or her cart, there's all these like used pieces of food and mugs and cups, and it looks really disheveled and dirty. And then I really start to make an assessment, and then it hits me. Because when I flew out of LA, I actually spent a little time in Tom Bradley outside with this other nice woman that I met, and I noticed that there were a lot of homeless people hanging out in this little airport park, you know, just kind of picking up human scraps. And then I realized that this woman is actually homeless, and she's perpetrating as a traveler, but she is definitely not traveling anywhere. She probably just spends a lot of time at the Tom Bradley airport park, and then she sees me as an easy victim. And at that point, I just kind of pick up my bags and I look at her and I said, you know what, I'm on the run, I'll see you later. And then I just took off, and as I was leaving, I thought to myself, this is exactly how it happens that you lose your stuff, you know. And it was really, I'm not feeling that well. I'm really uncomfortable. I am totally tired. I'm strung out. My head hurts. You know, I just spent 12 days at base elevation was 12,000. We spent a number of days at 14,000 and one day at 16,000. So my whole transition is off. But luckily, I was on my game, and I woke up right when she came on me. And then she sat next to me. I thought the whole thing was weird. So good thing I had my Spidey senses on. If you've seen the new Spider-Man movie, they were calling it the Peter Tingle. Yeah, that's hilarious. I just saw that movie a couple days ago. But so finally I took off, and then I went in, checked in. They let me check in 5 hours early, and then I got to my gate, and then I secured all my stuff, tied all my bags together, which is what I usually do, and then just fell asleep on them, got on the plane, and ended up in Boise, Idaho a few days ago at 10 o'clock. So I had Saturday, Sunday, Monday, and half of today. So I've been home from 3 days, and I'm feeling a little funky, jet lagged and this kind of thing. But mostly what I want to share, well, obviously I wanted to share that story because I thought it was really a unique situation to occur at the LA airport. You got to totally be aware. Stuff gets ganked all the time. But mostly I want to just talk about what it feels like to be back from a Buddhist pilgrimage. And if you read a little bit of my show notes there on my website, I have some show notes, a paragraph or two about what the podcast is about. I really believe that a pilgrimage done well should change a person. It should be impactful, it should be powerful, and it should slightly displace you, take you out of whatever groove you're in, and kind of put you in a different place. Now, before I left for the pilgrimage, I got a new job and I moved, so that's pretty challenging. And then just trying to organize my apartment, get things together at work and all this kind of stuff. And then, you know, the next thing you know, I got a pack to go on a pilgrimage international. Like, I'm going from Boise, Idaho to Lhasa, Tibet. So, you know, finally I land, and I'll tell you what, since I woke up with that girl that tried to gank my stuff, that homeless girl perpetrating as a traveler, she had a good shtick. I'll tell you what, that was pretty good because it took me a second to figure it out, but then I got it together and I bailed. But since then, I just noticed that I feel different. And it's really interesting because it does take a couple months to process everything that happened in Tibet. It was a very powerful and profound and extensively deep pilgrimage. 12 days. I cannot tell you how much stuff we packed in 12 days, how many sacred Buddhist sites we went to, and how much I practiced and meditated and did mantras. And, you know, I had some personal goals while I was there. I spent a lot of time in practice, which is important on a pilgrimage, because I wanted it to mean something. I don't even want to get into any of the details, because this podcast is simply about just coming back, right? Making that transition back in. And, you know, and then basically, you know, Tibet's a second world country. China's with them. That's all I'm going to say about that. So they have some advances. When I was in Tibet in 2017 on a medical mission in a martial art Buddhist pilgrimage in China, but the time I was in Tibet, we were in eastern Tibet, calm. It was a little more third world-ish, certainly. Not a lot of running water, and not very few showers, very few amenities. But this time was a little bit different. A little bit different. We were in some major cities. We had a little more second world overtone. Lhasa's basically first world. I was a little amazed at how advanced Lhasa is and how it's growing and how much construction and growth and industry is going on there. I mean, there's a million people that live there, so that's no joke, right? But I'm really trying to deepen into my personal Buddhist practice. And it wasn't until I got home for a couple days that it really started to hit me that I actually feel totally different. And then, you know, I have to come back into the fold of my life. So I get back Friday night and I'm teaching Dharma at the Boise Dharma Center Sunday morning, and I'm back at work Monday and I'm teaching Aikido Monday night. And it's interesting, I was going to ask this of some of the Sangha members, some of the people that attended the Dharma class on Sunday morning, if I actually look different. But I can tell by the way that people have been looking at me that I am different. And then part of it is well, I am. I feel different. And that is good, because a pilgrimage should change a person. It should be impactful. It should displace them a little bit, put you in a totally different zone. And I'm really feeling it today. I feel totally different. And then some things that I'm used to are totally kind of uncomfortable in that different kind of way, you know, like, and basically what it is that I just, some of the habits that I have in life, how I do certain things at work, what time I go get coffee, drinking coffee, food, interactions, all these just kind of habitual qualities that I haven't been doing when I'm in Tibet, then I come back to, and then I just look at them differently. They feel differently. I just feel different. It's beautiful and interestingly something. I can't quite put my finger on it, but the Lama Yeshe, who organized the Buddhist pilgrimage, said, yeah, it usually takes a couple of months to internalize everything and process everything. And I guess part of it is I am in the pre-process mode of the pilgrimage. And I like this feeling. This lets me know that my endeavor bared fruit, and fruit that hasn't even grown yet. It's just all in fertilization mode. Something's coming. Some result of my experience going to Tibet and doing that much practice and being in Samye at the roof of the world and going to one of the most important Tibetan Buddhist temples, a number of them actually. I mean, some very, 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 one more time, very significant and profound Buddhist historical landmarks and temples and statues and all of it, in the culture, in the food, you know, and just the people that I was with, and my roommate Daniel, this French guy. Just, I'm not going to say that I didn't have fun, because it was an enjoyable experience, but, you know, I come back and people at work are like, oh, did you have fun on vacation? And I was like, well, and they're like, well, you didn't have fun on vacation. And I said, well, I wasn't on vacation. I was on a Buddhist pilgrimage, in all due fairness, it was arduous, and it was challenging, and it was difficult. I'm at 12,000, 14,000, 16,000 feet. I'm having trouble sleeping at that altitude. I'm uncomfortable. I can't breathe. I have blisters on my feet and cold sores on my tongue. And yeah, it certainly wasn't an easy experience, but I did enjoy myself and I did have some good laughter. And for me, it was just more, it was a religiously Buddhist experience. That's what I was going for. Pilgrimage, baby, pilgrimage. I was a pilgrim. Yeah, one time we were on the bus and there were a group of people trying to figure out, what do you call people that are on a pilgrimage? And I just looked at them and I said, well, how about a pilgrim? Yeah. Major pilgrim mode. And I yield great result. It's been amazing. And, you know, we all do pilgrimages of some type. Even if you're not spiritual, even if you're not religious, like you like going to concerts, that can be a pilgrimage. You know, you prepare, you save money, you know, you push the limits of your body, you drive all night, you know, you work real hard, you try to get to this show, it's a challenge, all these things, trying to buy tickets, blah, 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 all these things. You know, that's a pilgrimage. Yeah, people make pilgrimages to go to the Super Bowl. And it's actually become a thing because there's documentaries on it, about it, on TV. So it for me, it was very powerful. It was very powerful. And I've talked a little bit about pilgrimage and going on pilgrimage and what that means. And I wasn't quite sure what I was going to get out of it. Right? I didn't really have an expectation other than just going deep and really giving myself to the pilgrimage process. And yeah, I learned a lot and I had a lot of realizations. It was vastly profound for me. And then there's still some stuff going on that I'm processing because I feel different. And that's good. And that's good. And it's real interesting, too, because, see, today's Tuesday. Thursday, I'm leaving for the Oregon Country Fair. This is a different kind of pilgrimage. Now, this is just straight fun. This is the 50th anniversary of the Oregon Country Fair. And I was there. I went from 1996 up until about 2012 every year. And on the 25th anniversary, the silver anniversary, I just remember telling myself that I'm coming back no matter what in 25 years. And I'm getting ready to go. So, you know, a couple of my podcasts are going to be about driving to the Oregon Country Fair. That's going to be my next one. I'm going to do some recording on the road and then maybe even podcast from the Oregon Country Fair. Not quite sure, but I have a few podcasts to catch up on. I'm going to try to get two or three more before next week and be officially caught up. So if you missed me for the past 3 weeks, thanks for hanging in there. Thanks for your support and stay tuned. I have more podcasts coming. And as I just unpack this whole Buddhist pilgrimage to Tibet, I'll post more podcasts and things of that nature and keep you posted on some other stuff coming up. So with that, my friends, thanks again for tuning in, and it is time for me to tune out. I'll check you all soon. So be well, be real, and stay smooth. Hey, thanks for tuning in. This is Alejandro with One Hand Speaks. Find me online at onehandspeaks.com and all your social media outlets.